I'm late to my own meeting. Hi, Ruth. Good to
Hi,
see
Rabbi.
You. Glad you're here. Glad you're using your auto. Hi, Emily. Hi, Susan. Hey, Facebook. Look, I have friends here. I'm zooming. I'm letting the people, you can't see them right here, but I got a camera here. And the people at Facebook Live now can see that I'm not just talking to myself, because it looked like I was just talking to myself. Oh,
can we say where we live?
Let's do that. Let's say where we live, where we're coming from. If you want to join me, I'm on Facebook Live. You can join me and Aaron and Susan and Emily and Joe and Elizabeth and Tom and Sari, my sister, and Jamie and Alma and look at Alex is here, and Becky just took this little stuff off of her screen from privacy. That's wonderful to see all my friends showing up here. I'm going to make this larger. And let's do a little bit. It's 11 o'clock hour. Let's go around the horn. I'm going to unmute everybody. Let me see if I can do that. Manage participants, unmute all. Hey, Rob, glad to see you again. Hillary, my little friend. Hi. And Meg is here. It's fantastic. And Betsy, you haven't missed one yet. I'm glad to see you. I was feeling bad for you, Betsy, the just because you're so tactile and not being able to hug people. I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
About that. All of a sudden, everything's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm in Ohio.
I'm gonna say your name, and I'm gonna ask you to tell us where you live. So Ruth Bernstein, can you tell us where you live?
I hope this didn't bother you too much.
You had too much background noise. Ruth Bernstein, who's in my top left corner.
I live in New York City.
You live in New York City in the same exact building as my sister. I know that.
And right near your sister.
Right next to my sister. Susan, where do you live, my friend?
I can't let you quit. Yes, but why the candles? I wrote them.
Susan, can you tell us where you live? Susan,
we want to go to chat.
Yeah. Again, my friend Joe is going to be watching the chat for me, because I can't do all the things at once. Emily, where are you coming in from today?
You know what? I'm from Arlington, Washington, USA, but I've lost everybody. Something has happened, and I'm going to have to close it and start again.
Above, just so everyone knows, above your heads, above my picture there, there's a little button that might say speaker view or gallery view. If you press on that, you'll get a different view. Also, if you're on an iPad or a tablet or a phone, you can swipe and you'll see different options. Hey, Troy, good to see you. Becky, where are you coming from today?
I am from Austin, Texas.
Glad you're here. And Aaron, my friend, I haven't seen you for a bit. Where are you from?
I live in Columbus, Ohio.
Wonderful. Glad you're here. And Rob K., I know you live north of me. Where do you live, my friend?
In Guelph, Ontario,
Glad Canada. To hear you from Guelph, Ontario, Canada. And Ann Elliott, you mind telling us where you live?
Pennsylvania, Camp Hill, Pennsylvania.
Glad you're here. Betsy Ann, where are you, my friend?
Yes, I'm in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Oh, wonderful. Susan, can you hear again? Well, that's a stupid thing to ask her now, isn't it? There was an IT guy who I used to work in a corporation, and he would send us an email when the internet was down. What are you doing? All right, we'll work on it. I'm gonna work on the next row. Alex, where are you? I know the answer to that.
I am from Lompoc, California, which is kind of right on the point right there.
Wonderful. Joe Ludwig?
St. Louis, Missouri.
And Dr. Carol Ox, where are you, my friend?
New York.
We could tell from the accent if you hadn't told us.
I have audio.
Hillary, where are you calling in? Where are you, my friend?
Connecticut.
And Meg, where are you?
Virginia.
Patty Jones?
Oh, honey, I'm close as can be. I'm Vancouver, Washington.
You're right here.
I'm right here.
I'd give you a hug, but we're not allowed.
I know.
And Troy, where are you calling? Where are you, my friend?
Elmore, Indiana.
In Indiana. And Troy's going to be having a bar mitzvah coming up, and we're going to invite all of you to it because we're doing it online.
Hey, Brian, you missed me.
Who did I miss?
Me. I'm in the second box at the top, Maryland, Harbor Journal.
I don't see who's talking.
It's Maryland. It's Harbor Journal on my computer.
Oh, I see you, Maryland. No, so the order is slightly different. I thank you for telling me. The order's different on the computer than on different people's
computers.
I might be going in different order. I had to mute you for a second. I had too much noise going on there. John Kern and Melissa, where are you guys?
We're in Pacific Grove near Monterey, California.
Wonderful. And Mike Justice, I know you're somewhere very close to me.
Yes, Portland.
Portland, Oregon. And Elizabeth, you're not on video, but I know you're in, where are you, my friend? Can you hear us?
I'm in Alpharetta, Georgia.
Alpharetta. And Leanne, looks like you stepped away for a moment. There you are.
Yep, my coffee was done.
where are you, Leanne?
I'm in Gibson's, British Columbia.
Glad you're here. And who do I got next to you? Mason, welcome. I don't think I've seen you here before. Where are you coming from?
Meg Glenn Alvey's hometown of Newport News, who encouraged this.
Wonderful. And Michelle Nicola, I know where you are. I've actually been in that very room where you are. Can you tell everyone where you are? Well, I don't think Michelle's volume is up, but she lives right here in Portland. She's one of my favorite teaching buddies.
Hey, can you ask Susan again? Can you try to see if Susan can hear us? Susan,
I can hear you.
Oh, good. Susan, I can hear where you. Are you? Wonderful.
Hi. I'm in Ottawa, Canada.
Wonderful. I'm going to mute people. I hate to do this, but I'm going to mute all of you. You can hit the space bar or unmute as needed, but we're just getting a lot of noise on a few people's lines. Oh, and Rhiannon is here. Hi, Rhiannon. I don't know. Yeah, hi. She lives right here in Portland, too. We just introduced where we're from. All right, I'm going to take a breath of air because this is a lot. This is, I think we're all in our own homes. We're all
hey,
in a
Brian,
place.
Can I say where I'm from?
Yes, Marilyn. Where are you, my friend?
Portland, Oregon.
I know you are. Wonderful. I look forward to when I get to see you in person again.
Thank you. Me too.
Okay. And the people who are not on video, I'm not, let me just go over some rules. There's a little box above me this way or this way that either says speaker view and gallery view. I encourage you to use that. I'm also going to look every so often to the people on Facebook Live who I'd like to encourage to join us here. If you go to live rotb.community, I actually put, this is a little sacrilegious, but I have this extra camera is actually on a stack of Bibles because that's what I had around. So there, I don't know what that means, but that's what I got. Okay, breath of air. Folks, we've made it. We're on day three of our discussions. And I don't know how to count what day of the coronavirus we're on, but here we are. I have a question I'm going to start with. By a show of hands, how many of you can wave? Okay, so as a teacher, they say you should always start with a question that everyone can answer and start with an easy question, and that engages everybody. So I'm glad you guys are all here. My friend Joe is going to be moderating the chat. Joe, wave to everyone. Joe is a wonderful moderator. I cannot pay attention to the chat and lead a discussion at the same time. So apologize, but this is what it is to be human. And to be humans to error and to forgive divine, which I think will bring us close into our discussion today, which is supposed to be on forgiveness. I want to ask you before we have our discussion on forgiveness, I want to ask, in the last 24 hours, any of you have particularly a story of powerlessness? Anyone had powerlessness that you experienced in the last 24 hours? Anyone got a story they want to, they're willing to share? Now, Michelle, can I call on you? I'm going to just do it anyway, but you can say no.
Yes.
Tell us a story of powerlessness, would you?
Can you hear me? Did you unmute me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, okay. Here's the big one. what I do is I reach out and I connect to people in times of struggle, and I can't make people reach back to me. And there's one person in particular who I really wanted to hear from, and he is silent. I can't do anything about that.
That's powerlessness.
Yep.
That's sure powerlessness. I hear it in your voice. Yeah. Anyone else got a tale of powerlessness? Go ahead, Meg. What do you got? I'm going to unmute you. No, I'm not. I'm going to try that again. I'm going to try it yet again. One moment, Meg. Wait, you're doing it and I'm doing it at the same time. There you go, Meg. Try it now.
Great. I decided I'd try to be a census worker. So I've been filling out the forms. And they have misspelled my last name. It's a hard last name. Don't ever hyphenate. And I filed all the papers with the two copies showing my proper spelling of the name several weeks ago. It still is wrong. So I called the office that was supposed to be helpful, and of course their mailbox is full. Yeah. And on top of that, when I was filling out one of the forms, they requested an email address. So I filled it out. That little at sign was in there. You can't have any special characters in the email address box.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm sure this will all work out.
Yeah, that's powerlessness. Thank you, Meg. That just seems brilliant. Shirley, what do you got? And then we'll...
Well, I know some friends that own a restaurant and a bar, and people that are, you know, out of work and being... being hit hard with this, and I feel powerless because I don't know how to help.
Yeah. Anyone else having that feeling of not being able to help enough? That looks pretty unanimous. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a really hard time of powerlessness. Yesterday we talked about acceptance and how can we accept that? And we talked about patience and staying and trying not to get too frustrated. There was a great quote yesterday, Byron Katie's quote. Anyone remember that quote? They get another voice up here besides mine? Okay, I'll do it. Oh, wait, Ruth, you got it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ruth. Can you tell us the quote, Ruth?
Yes, I can. When you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. Is that the one you're looking for?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I like that. Amen.
That's a good quote. That's a good quote. So hand gestures, that's like an amen. That's like jazz hands or... we could do snaps, but we can't hear that. And thank you. And also I thank Ruth because she's working harder on this. She can't hear. She has a transcription happening live as this is going on. So it takes a moment for her to hear what we're saying because she has to then transcribe and read it. So thank you also for that, Ruth. Who's got a story of, I've got some in the last 24 hours, a story of kindness. Have you seen, it reminds me of the Mr. Rogers quote who says, always look for the helpers. I have seen some remarkable kindness in the last 24 hours. And I'm wondering if you have too. Leanne, you tell us.
Yes. We had on a local Facebook group, a man participate who had been taking showers at the local swimming pool because his hot water heater was broken. And he couldn't afford to fix the hot water heater and wanted to know where he could go to take a shower. Within 4 hours, his water heater had been replaced free by everyone in the community contributing funds to a local plumber who donated his time and a local business who donated the water heater.
That's beautiful, Leanne. Does that not make you feel all like humanity is like, we can be schmucks, but we also have this, I think, a larger side of us, which is so beautiful. Give me another story, a tale of kindness from the last 24 hours that you witnessed. I have a guy, and anyone in Portland, we're having, I forgot what it's, social isolation yoga at 37th and Brazee at 3 o'clock. A guy just said, come, I'm going to do a yoga class outdoors for anyone who wants to be within 10 feet of each other's mats, but we're all doing it. It's a beautiful day. Give me another, who else has got a story? A story of kindness that they witnessed. And yes, John Kern and Melissa, what do you have?
Good morning, dear.
Hi.
I teach at a community college, and we had our city locking down at 12:01 a.m. last night. And I had something I really, really needed to have videotaped and done. And a student came at 10 o'clock at night, and so did I, after his very long shift at Crazy Whole Foods, where he works to put himself through school, and probably stayed till midnight. You know, I left and he was working away, just happy to do it. And it was also really nice to meet, to just be with him alone in a room at 10:30 at night on an empty campus. And he went to shake my hand when he first came in, and then we had to remind ourselves to elbow bump. But, you know, one thing that inspires me is being around these young, energetic people. 10 o'clock, no big deal. I'm just getting started.
It's beautiful. People got kindnesses in them. I got any. We got one more kindness that you witnessed in the last 24 hours or so. Yeah, Patty, what do you have, my friend?
We were in Winco. This was on Monday, and standing in line, and two carts ahead was a young couple, and the lady between us said, I didn't get any rice. And the couple said, we have two bags here. Take one of ours.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Right?
It's these small little things, and we got to collect them. We got to keep our eyes open to them, because otherwise, if we just look and I heard it said this way, that our perspective is though it's a window, and we can look out of this pane, or we can look out of this pane, and we have a different perspective. And the trying, it's not always something we can do, but to try to look out of the gratitude window a little more if when we can. Okay. Glad you guys are all here. This lights me up, and I'm so pleased. So today we're going to be discussing forgiveness. The definition I found of forgiveness is to stop being angry about a person or oneself. A definition I found of forgiveness is to stop being angry about a person or oneself. And I think we could also do it towards inanimate objects or semi-animate objects like the government. But let's talk about forgiveness. And I there's this great quote, and I lost who said, Alexander Pope said, to err is human and to forgive divine. And I think that points us in the right direction, is that there's this capacity we have towards forgiving. And this is the quote, and it's attributed to Mark Twain. And it's not Mark Twain's quote, because I did a little bit of a deep dive on this one, because, you know, that's what rabbis do sometimes. I'm going to share my screen so you can see it. Hold on. Here it is, this beautiful quote. Forgiveness is the fragrance of the violet, Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. That's a powerful quote. I'll take some reactions to that. You have a reaction? You got something to say? We'll just say we like it. we're liking that quote. It's a good one. That forgiveness is the fragrance. They say that resentment costs us more. It's like drinking poison with the hope of killing someone else. That resentment is equivalent to drinking poison with the hope of killing someone else. How many of you have ever held on to a resentment longer than you should have? And how many of us know that that holding on to a resentment has hurt us more than it has hurt them? Oh, hey, almost all the same people. Go figure. How do you like that? Forgiveness, the question then is, how do we forgive? What are the steps we do? Well, let me go with this first. A few days ago, we talked about patience and anger. And I pointed out that patience is really anger to the negative one. It's the inverse, if you speak math, it's the inverse of anger. That patience is the inverse of anger. And we talked about there's a downside to having patience. And the downside to having patience, and that sounds like a weird phrase, like there should be no downside to having patience. But we discovered 2 days ago that the downside to having patience is you don't get that really fun, cathartic outburst of anger. And that we kind of, I'll just admit, for me, I enjoy feeling righteously indignant and being really angry. And to cultivate a patience practice would mean that I have to give up this thing that I really like. Now, that's an analogy. Here's going to be the question. If you were to include more forgiveness in your life, what is it that you think you might have to give up? I might say that again, because it's a hard question. Also, some of us are different kind of learners and would be better for writing down. I see some people are writing down things. Write down, do what you got to do. If getting more patience means we have to give up this anger. Oh, Jane once said this about gossip. She said, I know I shouldn't gossip, but I feel such a warm ooze anytime I do it. Like there's some, and those of you who know Jane, yeah, this is it. So what is the secret thing that we actually enjoy about not forgiving other people? What is the thing that that we would be forced to give up were we to forgive? What's that warm ooze?
Being right.
Well, say that again, Rob.
Being right.
I see a few heads nodding.
Being correct.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. If we are to forgive, we have to give up, I would call it our righteous indignation.
Yep.
Yeah, Becky, hold on. I'm going to unmute you, my friend. Go ahead. Oh, wait. Let me do it again. Go ahead, Becky.
There we go. I think you give up control. You want to have control, but then you also lose control.
Yeah.
So I think it may be a control issue.
Show of hands, how many of you are willing to give up control? Yeah, Rob, we talked about this. Some of, like, we know we should, but we really don't want to.
I see you, Aaron. I see you.
Joe, I got to mute you. You're laughing too loud. Aaron, you have a comment to make?
It's like letting go.
Letting go. I didn't hear a lot of what you said. The audio's a little weird. Can you say that again, Aaron?
Letting go is the opposite of the almost faithful let go. I mean,
Okay, Aaron, maybe type it in. There's something on the audio that I just can't, I can't pick what you're saying. I heard the letting go part. Joe, could you read what Aaron said if he wrote something? You just muted.
He said it's his Wi-Fi, and okay. He said self-hatred, actually, like if...
Oh, if we forgive, we have to let go of self-hatred. If we forgive ourselves. Yeah. Oh, that's an ugly idea. All right, we got to get some therapists on the line that we actually want to hold on to some self-hatred. Oh, that's ugly and true. It for some of us, unfortunately, it was like mother's milk. It was criticism and shame, and it's hard to give up and to allow yourself to be free. I hear you, Aaron. I want to go back to righteous indignation because I got a really good quote about it. And the name of the guy whose quote it is, I forget, but he built the Crystal Cathedral. I can't think of who it was. Fuller, Robert Fuller. It takes a moment. I'm 50.
Fuller. Robert Schuller.
Schuller?
Schuller.
Okay, thank you, Troy. Thank you. And the quote was, ready for this one? You're not gonna like that I told you this, because you're never gonna be able to unhear this idea. Here's the quote. Moral indignation is often jealousy with a halo. Oh, I'm gonna say that again. That's awful.
That's good.
It's good. Moral indignation is often jealousy with a halo. There were kids outside yesterday congregating too close together for me. And I got up on my moral indignation talking about things I didn't have power over and powerlessness. I had no power over the ninth graders who were congregating on the block, who were all huddled together. And I got morally indignant. And I had to think to myself, why? Because I wish I were as free as they were to be so selfish. They're young. They're going to be fine. That's how my thoughts went. I don't know if that's true. But my moral indignation was really jealousy with a halo. And not forgiving someone gives us the opportunity, not when we're dealing with ourselves, Aaron, but when we're
talking. Did you say something to him, Brian?
No, I did not, Marilyn. I did not.
Good.
Well, I think you should have.
Okay, we can fight about that, but I didn't, and that's reality.
Okay.
It felt like this is outside of my sphere of influence. And I also don't want to be that guy. And I will look into my own self on that when I'm doing meditation later. Thank you for bringing that up.
Don't say something to someone if you think that they have a weapon, but otherwise, in this case, I'm okay with people not liking me. I may not like the fact that not everyone likes me, but as long as I don't think they're going to attack me, I would have said something, because a person that might die might be their grandmother, or from following what's going on, it might be them.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to change my mind later today. We'll see what happens when I'm sitting and watching.
Okay.
I'll tell you tomorrow. So let's go back. Moral indignation is jealousy with a halo. We don't forgive people because we want to feel morally superior to them.
Sure. Ugh.
Yeah, but it's kind of ugly, isn't it? Yeah, Emily. Hold on one sec. I'm trying to unmute you, my friend. Emily, I cannot unmute you. I don't know why.
Now, am I unmuted?
There you are. There you go, Emily.
This morning, I have to laugh now. I hate giving up my halo, but this morning, I was going to say something on Facebook to my family, something really snarky, making light of somebody. Oh, I wanted to say it really bad.
Yeah.
And I decided, I thought about it. I decided, you know what? There's no need to add more negativity into this Facebook thing.
Well, I hated not being able
I hated not being able to say it because I really wanted to say something snarky.
Are you in need of absolution? Because I know a guy. Okay, so you think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. So I came up with this idea. I've been working on this idea for, oh, probably 30 years. And I finally came up with a way of making it work. I'm going to share my screen right now and you're going to see it. You see that there? One valid share of absolution.
Beautiful.
I had an artist design it. It says one valid share of absolution, guilt-free, it says at the bottom. And here's the game. And let's see if you can, if this works. I had some lawyers help me with this. This represents one valid share of absolution, which has been distributed to the shareholder, in this case, Emily. In consideration, the shareholder agreed to relinquish a majority share of guilt, defined as any or all adverse feelings of internalized shame remaining after a good faith repentance and or atonement in thoughts or deeds, with regard to the matter at hand for which the atonement was required. Surrender of guilt to religion outside the box, ROTB.org, by the shareholder activates the spiritual transaction and entitles the shareholder to take immediate stock of their choice of calm, peace, diminution of anger, and ease at acceptance of reality. The shareholder agrees to hold ROTB.org. Oh, it should say not. Oh, I'm gonna fix that. Any harmless in all liabilities, harm, bad feelings, guilt, the inability to do so would void this. The idea of this joke is not, and there's a real idea behind it, that in order for us to feel forgiven, in order for us to feel absolved, we have to give up. I can't sell these absolution certificates. That was my original idea. I thought, you know, the church isn't in that business anymore. I'd like to try it. But I can't sell absolution. It doesn't feel right. But what I realized was, as so long as you're willing to give up your anger, as so long as you're willing to give up your guilt, I can give to you the thing you already got. Because as soon as you give up your anger, as soon as you give up your guilt, well, that's the joke. You don't need the certificate anymore. I'm super proud of myself for that. So I'd like some shout outs for that. Anyone want a copy of it? Put your email in the box, in the text box. I'll send it to you, even though it has a typo at the bottom. Okay, I'm going to tell you all the story in a moment. Hold on. I'm going to tell you a story. Wait, I'm going to catch up my notes first. Oh, I'm not going to tell you the story yet. Let's take this one on. Forgive and forget. That's a phrase. We've all heard that phrase. Forgive and forget. Is that true? Does that work? Jo is shaking her hand vigorously. No. Rob is saying forgive and forget does work.
Yeah.
Let's try this. How many of you, show of hands, forgive and forget? Good idea.
Forgive, don't forget.
Okay. How many of you are forgive and forget? Not a good idea.
I think it's a
say it again, Aaron. Yeah.
I think it's good to forgive, but not necessarily good to forget. Because, I mean, if someone killed your best friend or your wife or something, you can forgive, but you can't forget that person did that act. I mean, you can't forget, you know, like someone, you know, stole $100 from you. You can't forget that. You could forgive that. Uh-huh. You don't want to forget that.
Well, you wouldn't want to forget it so that you wouldn't have to lose another $100 to them. I agree with that.
Right.
But I think the ideal, I think it's pointing towards an ideal. So I had some people who thought this was a good idea, forgive and forget. Let's hear from you. What do you got? Forgive and forget?
I had a stroke.
You did?
Yes. And I forget a lot of things. So
forgiveness comes much easier the older you are.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to forgive anybody. That's your choice. Just get past it.
You don't have to forgive anyone.
Of course you do.
Oh, wait,
If you don't remember that, people who don't remember the history are doomed to repeat it. So I don't think you should forget.
Okay. Well, this go ahead. I see Betsy Ann, you're trying to unmute yourself.
Yep, there.
All right, go ahead, my friend.
I think it's about evolving the forgiving and forgetting. I'm not sure it's that black. It's not that black and white.
It's not that easy.
There are certain things one can forgive more easily and just move on. And then if we give it too much importance, then it's more difficult. Then there are other things that are bigger. That's like, you have to figure out, you maybe need some help. You need need certain community to help you understand how to morph past it so it doesn't anchor you in a negative way.
Oh, I like the way you say that. I like the way you say that. Melissa, I think you had your hand going. There you are, my friend. Oh, I just muted you. Go ahead again.
A couple of thoughts. For me, saying it's important to remember, you shouldn't forget. Sometimes it seems like a dangerous gray area where you might still be holding on to that delicious, righteous indignation. For me, I never forget. I'm one of those people who remembers what the